When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome.
Ahoy hoy, nothing. Oh, I was going to interrupt, then I realised like I wasn't saying ahoy hoy, so I stopped, and then I interrupted you anyway, so.
Right. Fucking shambles.
It's the smooth sort of start you expect from this podcast. You are welcome. How are you, Peter?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Actually, yeah. Do you know what?
Yes.
I think I've got hay fever for the first time in my life.
Me too. This year, 100%, 1000%. And this is apparently a common phenomenon due to the type of pollen something. Didn't read the end of the article because it was in a paper you had to have a paywall for.
Right.
But I did read a headline, Pete, and I was intrigued almost enough to sign up, and then I didn't.
Yes, it's just first time ever. Itchy as fuck, mate.
Me too. I'm sneezing. I've bulk bought some what are they called? Antihistamines.
Antihistamines.
6 months worth for a fiver on Amazon. Cheers, guys.
Six months worth for a fiver.
Yeah.
How often are you taking them?
Daily. One a day.
Wow.
Good that, innit? Someone put me onto them. Who's a sort of, they're called Alakan. So if anyone else
you've got an antihistamine guy, have you?
Yeah, I got an antihistamine dealer, yeah. Right. Definitely the best rates. So there you go. Hopefully that's been helpful to anyone. Have a little search on that. Get a stock them up. Have a nice time.
I heard a hay fever expert on the radio fairly recently.
Yes.
And they said that one of the ways to improve it is nasal douching. Which I think sounds horrendous.
Like a sex thing.
Yeah, it just sounds awful.
Can I blow your mind?
Go on.
I didn't know that's what it was called, but I do own a nasal doucher.
How big is it?
If it's what I think it is, it's like some water that you sort of like flush up there.
Yeah, but I don't think squirting loads of water up your nose is good for you.
Well, look, Pete, the risk of this podcast becoming less about friends week by week, we should really crack on with the frenzy thing in a minute, but it does clear you out a bit. But also, on that note, I'm about to have keyhole surgery on my nose to unblock my sinuses.
Right.
So I'll tell you if it has a sort of long-term effect of a nasal doucher. But yeah, it's a proper like, it's like, what's the word, where they whoosh it up your jacksie. What's it called?
A colonic,
yeah, that's the word. It's like a nasal colonic, same sort of vibe.
Colonic!
Yeah, it's just like powerful whoosh in through the sinuses, whatever, boom, out it comes.
Do you think you'll still be able to nasal douche after you've had your operation?
I'm hoping I don't have to nasal douche, Pete. That's the whole point of the operation. I had a CT scan and everything, and is that sinus blocked up. Yeah.
Right.
Well, my head, I imagine, but yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. Anyway, let's try.
What's this podcast about again?
I think it's about nasal douching.
Right.
Crikey, that is a... do you know what? Let's talk about friends. Nasal douching with friends. Big moment on the podcast this week because I think I've solved one of friends' all-time mysteries.
Oh.
Are you excited for it?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. I'm going to wait till the appropriate point of the podcast.
Okay.
But I think a big mystery and an oft-discussed talking point amongst Friends fans.
Can we have a clue? Or
discovered the solution. Yes, if it is true, Rachel has done something heinous.
Heinous?
Heinous.
Is it heinous?
Heinous. Is it? Is it because I'm thinking about colonics?
It does. I don't think heinous rhymes with anus. That's not right.
Hang on.
Heinous. A heinous, like a heinous crime.
Excuse me, here's the internet.
Heinous.
Heinous.
Heinous. Heinous. Yeah. I've never heard it said like that.
Really?
No.
What? So you say heinous?
Well, I don't think it's not a word I say very often.
I'm going to try a different website.
Heinous.
Again, wait, US pronunciation?
Heinous.
No, that's the same.
No, that sounded more my way.
You sure? Wait, one sec.
Heinous.
Nah, still heinous, mate. Mm. Still rhymes with the place you do a colonic.
Right. What, your nose?
Yep. Yeah. That's a douche. crikey. This has been, even by our standards, a chaotic start to the podcast.
I have been up since 3 a.m, so...
Have you?
I should have seen this coming.
I didn't wake up till 11 today.
Right. You've got no excuse.
Oh, I've not quite woken up, I guess. There you go. You made me question myself there, Pete, but I'm glad that we discovered that. Shall we talk about Friends now? We almost started to do it, didn't we?
We came close, yeah.
I said the word Rachel, to be fair.
Yeah, that counts.
And the word Friends twice. So here we go. A request, yes? My horse for a request?
Yeah, you've got it in your messages.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was padding because I'd put my phone away, and then the WhatsApp web thing on this computer wasn't open, so I didn't want to open it, and then I've been padding.
Cool story, bro. Read the request.
I'm going to read the follow-up to the request first.
Why?
Ahoy, hoy. This is from Wednesday. In light of my episode being next week, well, this week now, going to pretend I hadn't been counting backwards and didn't know mine was next week. Oh, my God. Did you actually work it out? That's very impressive. I'd like to formally request the changing of my name from Hannah to your preferred format, Hannah, Sheffield, for some northern representation on the pod. Also, sorry for the most basic quiz layout. I'm no Danny from this week or Quizzard Amy.
I actually thought Hannah's quiz was very simple to read. Ah, fuck. Do you know what we've done there?
What?
We've made it clear that there's a quiz. No Jeopardy. Because somebody did message, actually. Somebody commented this week on the old Instagrams saying that they tune in for the Jeopardy of whether there's a quiz or not.
It's a quiz or not every week, I know. I like that. That was Andrian. He commented that.
There is a quiz. Okay.
There is a quiz.
So we've lost Andrian. She's gone.
Sorry, Andrian. Sorry. We're sorry. There'll be more Jeopardy next week. You can't have it all every week, can you? I saw Amy, the quizzer, this week, by the way.
Did you?
Yep. There you go. That's a nice update to my life that probably
where
nobody
was
cares
that? Was
about.
That the quiz?
No, Peter, that was at the opening night of Spitting Image, the musical.
Right.
Because Amy's partner, Jerome, am I doing like a lot of data protection errors this
Maybe.
Week?
Maybe. Change his name.
Amy's partner, Crunky. Crunky, okay. That's the first word that came into my head.
Right.
It's not a name. Let's go again.
It's not even a word.
Amy's partner, Tub, is the musical supervisor on that. I mean, I've done all of this now and got it to a point where I've said his job title and the name of the show, so anyone could just Google it. Anyway.
Crunky like Tubbs.
He kind of did all the music on Spitting Image, and it was excellent, and he's very talented.
Right.
Anyway, saw them at the party, had a nice time. Let's talk about Friends. Crikey, I haven't even read the request yet. Hannah from Sheffield says, ahoy, hoy, Pete and Dave of the podcast. I'd like to request the one with the cooking class. I think it's underrated, and I'm surprised it hasn't already been done. Very refreshing for season 8, when the plot tends to be more serious. It's a great lighthearted episode for all characters, like Joey with his abysmal joke, Ross and his Indiana Jones references, and typical Monica wanting to be the top class for a subject she's an expert in. Wanting to top the class. Sorry, that was me reading words badly. Also, did you notice that when Phoebe tells Chandler it's time for him to get his interview, she points at the cookie time cookie jar? I think that's what she talked about in a Jimmy Kimmel interview and how Matthew Perry gave her the tin when the show ended as a memento. Oh, that's cute. I didn't notice that. I look forward to hearing this episode, Hannah Sheffield. Well, Hannah, I'll tell you what. I hope you're still with us, because I reckon it's about 9 minutes in and the episode's about to start properly. I look forward to hearing this episode and the ramble fest that it precedes it. You are welcome. Would you like a synopsis now, Peter?
Yeah, go on.
One with the cooking class, 227419.
Yeah.
Medium, right. Isn't it? Monica's cooking skills get a bad review in the Post after confronting the cricket. Right. After confronting the cricket, she decides to join a cooking class with Joey in tow. Rachel gets jealous when Ross meets a girl who flirts with him at the baby department store. Woman, please, Wikipedia. Come on, we're better than that. And Phoebe helps Chandler prepare for an interview by stopping his natural instinct to make immature jokes. Where would you like to start, Pete? I think it should be Chandler's interview, don't you?
Yeah, I've really not got much to say about this, to be honest.
No. Oh, the problem with this entire plot line, right, for me, and I don't know if you agree, and British listeners in general agree, but duty isn't a word I ever grew up associating with poo.
No, or doo-doo.
Or doo-doo. All of that. Doo-doo and doo-doo. So that entire thing flies over the head of the Brits, I think. And I'm not saying we're the most important people in the world, Pete. But frankly, actually, we are some of the least important now. I think we need to be combating British exceptionalism heavily by going, you know, overcorrecting and going the other way.
What by? No, we are. No, I agree. I agree. Well, yeah. We've also had a false sense of our own importance for quite some time.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So now the empire's crumbled. We can happily admit we're absolutely wastrels.
The empire's crumbled. Do we not have?
Sorry.
That
oh yes. Well, when hang on. Is this a reference we made on the podcast, or was this on something else? They're talking about Bill Clinton. I made a joke at a different time about Bill Clinton. Pete still thinking Bill Clinton was the president. Anyway. Something, Pete.
Was that something we recorded, or was that just when we were chatting?
I think that was in correspondence brackets, only available on Patreon, patreon.com/friendspod.
Right.
Oh my God, what a smooth plug that was.
Dave, absolutely nothing about the last 11 minutes has been smooth.
No, it hasn't. But do you know who's enjoyed it? Probably one person at least. Mm-hmm, and they are our favourites. What were we talking about? Yes, I don't get the doody-doody thing. And I remember certainly watching it as a kid and just going, I don't know what's happening until at the end, which is admittedly very funny. Chandler says poo. And the way Chandler says poo is very funny. And it is a very funny word.
But an American saying poo sounds odd.
Agreed, right?
Because they normally say it with an extra P.
Yeah. Yeah, but poo is much funnier, isn't it? As a word to say. And the guy that's interviewing him repeating it in a sort of agitated tone, very funny. But yeah, overall, like both those moments of tell us what you do and tell us about your duties don't really fly for me, Pete. I don't know about yourself.
Also, is the conclusion just that he genuinely doesn't get this job because of saying that?
Yeah, he basically had the job, didn't he?
Yeah,
isn't that mad?
Yeah, and then talks about poo and it's gone.
Yeah.
To be fair, if I was interviewing someone for a job and they started talking about poo, I don't think I'd give them the job.
No, I think
I'm not big on poo chat.
No, it's awful, isn't it?
You know how some people relish it? I don't.
No, I don't like it. I think it's, well, I was going to say I think it's, you know, a bit beneath us, Pete, but anyone listening to the last 12 minutes of this podcast would...
You mentioned a colonic after about a minute.
You are... Yeah, but I didn't say the word. I can't do it without saying the word now. Oh, this is too much, Pete. I'm tangling myself up into a dizzying web of duties.
Right.
This plotline also opens with a joke that I will happily admit I shouldn't laugh at through the prism of 2023 and body shaming, but I did involuntarily laugh at. And that's, you know, I'm just admitting that to everybody because I think other people might have gone through the same thing. When Chandler walks in and says, hey, Phoebe, fatty, to a pregnant Rachel.
Yeah, heavily pregnant Rachel.
Heavily pregnant Rachel. They wouldn't be doing that now, would they? But
no.
Did I do a little laugh, Pete? Happy to? No, the opposite of happy. Ashamed to say I did.
You know the running joke about nobody knowing Chandler's job?
Yes.
Do you know your best friend's job?
Like the friends that are closest to you, do you feel like you could confidently say what their jobs are?
My best friend Simon, who now lives in Australia. Ooh, I do want to say events.
Right.
I think something events.
Like my friend Martin, if ever he talks about work or if anybody like asks me what he does, I say that he's a copywriter. And cool. He's not a copywriter.
What is he?
I don't know. It's something like that, but not a copywriter.
This will be a good test to see if Simon still listens to the podcast since he moved across the world. And then you can correct me, Simon, if you do, as to whether you do if it is events. But it's that sort of world, you know?
Mm.
Definitely used to do events, didn't you? So yeah, to sum up, no, I only know my friends' jobs if they're very clear to me. Do you know what I mean?
Do you mean if they're like cool jobs?
No, not cool. Just
like you can gain something from.
No, not at all. The opposite, in fact. But like, I've got a friend who's a barrister. I know he's a barrister. I understand what that is. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
And I've got a friend who's a violinist. There's no mistaking that, right? She plays the violin. Right, there's no, but jobs, I'd say jobs that are sort of more officey based, I'm not so good at keeping track of.
Yeah, I would like people listening to this podcast right now to ask themselves, do I know what my best friends do for a job?
Yeah, and question yourself and let us know, what does your best friend do for a job? We'll talk about it on the show next week. I'm not going to lie to you, but I am going to run away from you. Very relatable line.
Yeah, that is good.
Use that in my everyday life, certainly.
I don't think I've got any other notes about Chandler. That's kind of it.
No, it's just sort of Phoebe. I did enjoy his "You should meet my uncle Badder."
Yeah, that I don't like that element of Chandler's humour.
No, it's too. It was in this moment. It felt a bit forced, didn't it? But it did make me laugh. That's
dad
all
jokes, isn't it? Dad jokes.
Dad jokes. Yeah, but Pete, you know what? We're going to be doing them more and more as we get older. I think I do a lot of dad jokes already.
Right.
And it's only a look into the bleak future for us, Peter. And on that note, let's play a sting. Monica's cooking?
Monica's cooking.
God, how many copies of that paper did Ross buy?
Well, yeah, and also imagine just being able to, or at least thinking that you could prevent a bad review spreading just by buying like physical copies of something. Like,
I mean, this was 2002. The internet was certainly around, wasn't it?
Yeah, true.
Like, it's hardly like you've erased it all. And as is pointed out, Monica's bad review of her restaurant, which is why Ross bought all the papers, is still circulating all around the rest of Manhattan.
Yes, you're right. He said something about two blocks, doesn't he?
Yes, unless their entire customer base is and I wouldn't have thought even with the restaurant is within two blocks of where she lives. That'd be a very convenient job, wouldn't it?
That's true.
So it's not even like two blocks around the restaurant, which you'd hope would be the starting point, you know?
You know when she takes the Tupperware into the guy that reviewed the restaurant?
Yep.
That cooking looks fucking awful.
Like, it looks disgusting, doesn't it?
It's
agree.
Like, very, very watery. Well, it's soup, isn't it? But it doesn't look like
it's
soup.
It's a bouillabaisse, Pete.
What is that?
I don't know. They say it a lot, and I don't know what a bouillabaisse is.
Some kind of soup.
Bouillabaisse. There we go. What is a bouillabaisse? It's a type of seafood stew.
Oh, God. That sounds awful.
Not even soup, though.
Like a chowder.
It originated in Marseille.
Well, it looks awful.
Yeah, it doesn't look tasty, does it? I'm on the side of the critic. Although I generally don't like critics and sort of that sort of personality, which I know has been enhanced for comic effect, but that sort of smug, I know everything better than you do. Like, no, I'm not going to say it. That's snobby, isn't it?
Well, what are you going to say?
I'm just going to be like, Monica's a professional chef and this guy's teaching cooking down at the like night school.
That's true.
I don't think, and that's nothing against people teaching at night school. That's a very crucial job. But, you know, all that, like...
Is it a crucial job? Is well, cooking at a night school no, a crucial job?
I just meant teaching in general.
Do you think they were key workers during the pandemic?
No, we weren't clapping them, were we, Pete? On the doorsteps on a Thursday night.
Clap for cooking school staff.
Night school specifically, Pete, not day school. Not a course that you go on in the day. Night only course. But do you know what I mean? I just feel like whilst every job is important, there's no reason why he should be so smug over Monica, who is a working professional chef in a busy Manhattan restaurant.
Yeah, fair. Also, this cooking class that they both attend under false pretenses, or are false pretenses in Monica's case.
Yeah.
What they cook, like, it's all so dense, like a very dense pasta dish, which seems to contain cream.
Yeah.
Followed by some pretty hefty chocolate cookies. Like, you are going home from that with a food baby.
Absolutely, Pete. And do you know what looked delicious in that cooking class? Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Good. That's my kind of cooking, baby. Although the most annoying thing about this episode for me, not the smug critic, not the heinous thing that Rachel does later, is that Joey, when he leaves the cooking class at the end, takes 3 out of the 4 cookies.
Yeah, that bothers me. That does bother me. He sort of stacks them up, doesn't he, with his hand and then leaves one.
Why would you leave one?
Yeah.
That's a whole cookie. And she clearly wasn't protesting and saying leave them. It wasn't a speed thing, was it?
No.
Anyway, a lot of this plotline hinges on Joey. We're well down the track of Joey becoming stupider and stupider, aren't we? Because he just doesn't know
the meaning
now
of abysmal.
And that sort of plays in a joke right at the start and sort of halfway through when the critic says abysmal again. And again, the smugness of him, it'd been fine for him to just, I know it's the joke and he's bringing back the word abysmal, but that is a strong sentence to say to someone, isn't it?
Your food's abysmal. To their face particularly.
Yeah, just say it's not to my taste, you know?
Hmm.
Bit ironic that Monica doesn't like bad restaurant reviews though, I'd say, considering how she got the job at Alessandro's in the first place by writing a bad review of
that's
the previous chef.
That's true, yes, that's true.
Taste of your own bouillabaisse, eh, Monica?
Taste that bouillabaisse.
No, thank you very much.
Also, you know that bit where they're arranging to go to the cinema?
Yes.
And Joey says, am I meeting you here or am I meeting you at the cinema? Why would they ever not meet there? Like, they literally live opposite each other. Yeah. Why would they not make that journey together?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You might argue maybe if Monica's coming from work, they might meet at the movies, but the fact that Joey walks into her apartment full well knowing she is already there to ask that question?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Why would they never just meet in the corridor between their two apartments? That intro to cooking class, boy, does that start quickly.
Yes, it does actually.
I mean, I know it has to start quickly so that they don't leave, but I've been to classes before. Like, that cooking class would have started with, like, welcome everybody now. Has anyone done any cooking before? You know, it'd be that sort of thing. It wouldn't be, welcome to class one. What's the difference between a bearnaise sauce and a hollandaise sauce?
Yeah, bam, feels, straight in with a quiz.
Yeah, it feels very culinarily aggressive, I'd say.
She should leave the quiz to the end.
Leave the quiz to the end. And maybe even add some jeopardy as to whether there even is a quiz.
Yeah.
Welcome to Intro to Cooking. Maybe I'll ask you some questions later. Maybe I won't. It depends if they've done good organising or not. It's not quite like our podcast, I guess, but could be. Hey, do you know what the most relatable thing in this entire episode is, though?
No.
Joey eating all the cheese is a pre-cooking snack.
Although I'm not a big snacker of cheese.
Oh god, a snack on anything.
Do you know what I'd be more likely to do?
What?
I would eat from the bag of chocolate chips that end up in the cookies.
Sure. I think you could extend the pre-snacking cheese to, you know, any sort of ingredient whilst making food, you know? I have to buy double the cheese if I'm going to do a recipe because for that exact reason. I think one of the reasons I don't cook regularly, here he is justifying it to himself that he's not just a lazy prick.
When you say cook regularly, you mean any more than once every 6 months?
Oh, well, you come at me at a bad time, Peter, because I've cooked not once, not twice. No, twice. I've cooked twice this week.
What did you cook?
In the last week.
Was the second time reheated of the first time?
No, I don't count that as cooking, P. I don't count that as cooking. What did I cook? I mean, it was a recipe box, to be fair, so it wasn't like... But that's still cooking, isn't it?
Following recipes is still cooking, yeah. Oh, recipe box, hang on.
Yeah, like where they give you all the ingredients, like a HelloFresh type thing. It wasn't HelloFresh, I can't remember which one it was. But you know that thing. So they give you all the ingredients. But I still did the cooking, I guess. I just didn't do the individual buying of the ingredients.
Right.
But I just can't remember what the fucking dish was, the first one.
Well, it's clearly very memorable.
Anyway, it's not a great conversation, to be honest. But I just wanted to say I have cooked twice in the last week. And frankly, that does bring my total in June to twice. Mm. But still.
How can you cook that little and still not remember what you cooked?
There's a lot of stuff to remember, haven't I, Pete?
No, you haven't.
Do I not? I've got Friends trivia to remember. I've got lines from Friends about cheese to remember. Mm. I've got a lot to remember.
Okay.
I hold a very short-term memory for stuff like this, to be honest. I've got a very good long-term memory for like things that happen.
People need a long-term memory to remember the start of this fucking podcast.
But when it comes to my short-term, you know, anyone says on a Monday, what did you do this weekend? Immediately my brain goes, I just can't fucking remember. I literally can't remember off the top of my head. I have to really think back, you know? But it's not very
good. I know what you did
on
the weekend.
What?
Spitting Image the musical.
Nah, that was last Wednesday.
Oh.
I know, right? See? Mm. But I only remembered that because of an anecdote about the Friends quizzed Amy. It wasn't that I remember doing it, per se, you know?
Fascinating.
Isn't it? Isn't it? Anyway, to sum up, would eat a lot of cheese before cooking. Wouldn't probably, though, wash it down with some cream. I think that's where me and Joey go our separate ways.
No, that sounds hideous, doesn't it?
Awful cream. Oh, not drinking straight cream. As was hinted at quite strongly by Hannah Sheffield in her request, Monica is fucking annoying in this episode, isn't she?
She is.
Her
yeah.
need to be the best at this thing that she's already the best at.
Yeah. I also love the, I like the extras in these scenes in the cooking class because none of them have any lines and they're all like stood around watching the drama of Monica performing in this cookery class. They all gather around while the teacher samples their meals as well.
And as Monica points out, sort of do very hyped up courtroom drama reactions.
Yeah.
Which,
peak
to be fair,
extra behaviour.
It is peak extra behaviour, very extra behaviour. But to be fair, Monica, the way Monica, the character, is acting, I would say the characters around her deserve to give her a bit of dramatic reactions. I mean, the star thing, that's too much, isn't it? Making an like a foil star.
Yeah.
Aluminium, I was about to say. And then I realise we're going to cause yet another Anglo-American debate.
Oh, yeah. What do they say?
Aluminum.
Aluminum. That's it.
Aluminum. I enjoyed Joey's line. Like, hey, I got an A in school. I'm a dork. Great. Like, this is a very good episode for Joey, I think. I think he provides some excellent light relief in this plot line. And then at the end, we get that sort of closing tag scene of the intro to acting class, which is very Joey, very funny.
Yeah.
Doesn't get the first very simple question that they ask in the acting class.
Upstage and downstage.
Upstage and downstage. Pete, do you know the difference?
Downstage is at the front, isn't it?
It is at the front,
nearer
yeah.
the audience.
Nearer the audience. Do you know why that is?
Because it's downstage.
Yeah, but why is it downstage?
Because they used to be slanted.
Slanted, yes. There would be sloping stages back in the olden days.
Yeah.
And which one's stage left?
If you're sat in the audience, it's the one on the right.
There it is. There it is. You are officially more knowledgeable than Joey about the profession of acting.
Well, thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, to Rachel's heinous crime.
Her heinous crime, yeah.
Her heinous cream.
Exactly.
The heinous cream that Joey drank down after eating the cheese.
I think, you know, there's that bit where it becomes clear that the shop assistant knows paleontology.
Yeah.
I think if you know of specific paleontology scientists or academics, I feel like you'd probably be better suited to a career that doesn't involve selling baby items. And by that, I'm not saying that she's like...
People that cook, that teach cooking at night school aren't worth something.
No, no. Like, she clearly is very knowledgeable about a specific thing.
Yeah.
Her career, her livelihood...
Does not align with that
thing. Does not align with that thing.
No. It doesn't. And she doesn't say she's like studying it and putting herself through school or anything like that, does she?
No, she's just reading some quite very niche sounding book for pleasure.
Well, that Ross is teaching in his university class. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, she knows her shit, clearly.
She is. Yeah, absolutely. And frankly, and I know this ends because of Rachel's demands, which we'll come to in the end, which is not her heinous cream, to be fair. But has there been a woman more suited to Ross that he's ever met?
No, that's true, actually.
Never. Never.
I do love her flirting, actually. She the bit about Indiana Jones is great, but also the really like overly flirty, I can tell you work out, that bit's also really good.
She's great. She's a great character. Big fan of Katie. And I think she gets short shrift from Rachel.
She certainly does. She's called a slut. She's called a horny bitch. She's called all sorts.
A whore, slut, and a horny bitch.
Yeah, it's not not great for the old women respecting women here, is it?
No, this is a bad colour on Rachel, this whole thing, isn't it?
She refers to her as a whore, doesn't she? But I really like Phoebe putting her in her place with her. We must alert the church elders.
Yes. Although I thought it was funny that Phoebe mentioned church elders after having asked the question, did she know he wasn't married? She didn't say, did you know you two weren't together?
Yeah.
But Phoebe's barometer for morality seems to be, as long as Ross isn't married, in law, he's single and available.
Game on, yeah. I don't think I remember this line being quite so blunt, but that bit where Rachel refers to Ross picking out some shop girl at Sluts R Us.
Yeah.
It's really quite horrible language, isn't it, actually?
It's really bizarre, and it doesn't paint Rachel in it, like... Because what I think we're supposed to feel here is ultimately that Rachel is feeling insecure in her pregnant state and doesn't know what the future is for her and her baby. And all those things are understandable emotions, right? But what really comes out is, God, she's been an absolute dick.
Yeah.
Like, she is being really fucking horrible. She's horrible to her from the start in the shop. She's being a dick. Oh, I'm standing by the register with the cash, with a card, and I'm bored. You know, like, she's... just being judgmental. And the bit with a button. Oh, you've missed the button down. Oh, I see what you're trying to do there. God, Rachel, put your judgment hat away.
And also the bit where she ultimately tells Ross that she's aware that she's being unreasonable and yet still makes this sort of list of demands because she's struggling and she's, you know, it's insecurity, isn't it, really, on some level. It's an odd episode for Rachel.
It is, and I don't know, I wonder if what they were trying to do is build up Rachel's unreasonable behaviour to the point where she asks that of Ross, and to try and illustrate that him doing that is such a nice thing for him to do. Because this is one of the rare times you side with Ross over Rachel quite heavily all the way through the episode, right? He's being fairly reasonable and nice and normal, and she's being incredibly unreasonable. But I think this might actually be Ross's finest moment in all of Friends. Like, it's an incredibly selfless And like, he's overcorrecting far too much for what he, you know, is perceived as the behavior he's done wrong by going out with a girl. But he agrees to an absolutely mad thing because he like sees how important it is to Rachel and like illustrates the sacrifice she's made for their baby. Like, that's an, like, he, after her behavior in this episode, the fact that he goes, yeah, you're right, I won't date anyone. I get it. It's completely unreasonable, but I'm going to do it. I think 10 out of 10 Ross Geller, don't you?
Yeah, fair point. And ultimately, it does. It also looks, this kind of lays the groundwork to have some sympathy for Ross in time when, after she has the baby and they have those conversations about dating, and then he looks out the window, doesn't he, and he sees Rachel with Gavin and he's kind of wondering why he's making all those sacrifices.
Yeah.
This is kind of teeing that up, although that's obviously quite a way off yet.
Yeah, for sure. But it is certainly something that, it, watching that Gavin episode in isolation, you'd think maybe Ross is being a bit unreasonable. But yeah, based on the context of this and what he's now agreed to do here, maybe he had more of a point, hey?
Maybe.
I do really also enjoy, I'll grab my coat and my whip, and the entire awkward conversation that follows is such good late seasons Ross.
Yeah.
So I like regular sex. Well, not, and all of that sort of stuff. I just, that is absolutely top tier Ross behavior.
Well, also that conversation comes about because Katie has gone to home deliver something and then says home deliveries aren't really part of my job description. Well, no shit.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. And then Ross tries to tip a woman that's asking him out. I mean, that is not a good look. But fortunately, he's very aware of that and makes a reference to it. Have you ever heard the word horny bitch in that episode before, by the way? Because it wasn't in the UK version.
I think I had somehow. I think I might have watched this one on Netflix.
It was on the DVDs. It was on the DVDs, but never on the UK televised version.
Well, there you go.
And it does come out of left field. I mean, she says it so fucking loudly, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Crikey Moses. And I think Rachel is right. Ross would date a gorilla if he called him Indiana Jones. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair point.
So would I. What's a diaper service?
That's a good question. Couldn't tell you.
Rachel, right at the start, says we don't even have a diaper service. To me, I hear diaper service and I think sort of delivery for diapers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a thing? Is that a thing that happens in... I mean, I was going to say in America, I don't really... Not hugely au fait with.
I'm Googling.
Yeah.
Diaper service. Diaper service companies deliver sanitized cloth diapers to your door on a regular schedule and pick up the soiled ones for laundering. Imagine your job being picking up soiled nappies.
Wow. I did not know that was a thing. Is that a thing here? British mums?
Does seem to be a thing, but mainly an American thing.
Feel like, to be fair, in terms of sustainability, I'm in favour of the diaper service.
Right, okay.
They don't have a crib yet, Pete. Am I just bringing that up because it's got my name in it? Who's to say? But it is nice when they say my name in Friends. Does seem a bit late 1 week to go to not have bought a crib, to be fair. Like, that baby could easily...
Yeah, that is quite disorganised.
Yeah, that's bad. That's Dave and Pete doing spreadsheets level of disorganized.
Yeah.
And then finally, before we get on to Rachel's heinous crime, did you notice the editing heinous crime?
No, what was that?
Right after this first scene where Ross needs to pee, you know, and Rachel does that, oh my God, you know, are we still got a thing? And he goes, I'm just kidding, and go and pee. There's the transition into the next scene. What can you see in May 2002 in the transition scene?
Twin Towers.
Yeah, World Trade Center, mate.
Wow.
That's a bad miss, isn't
that
it?
That is bad.
That is a bad old miss. But yeah. And it's still there. Still there on Netflix to this day.
Wow. Tell me the heinous crime.
Okay. Right. It's a throwaway line, Pete. It's a massively throwaway line. But you know when they get all the stuff delivered?
Yeah.
And there's loads of it?
Yeah.
What does Rachel say?
Can't remember.
Do you remember? She says something like, blah, 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 there's loads of stuff. How serious are you about keeping Ben in your life?
Yeah.
How many times do we see Ben after that line is said?
None.
Not.
Oh, my God. She did us all a favour and got rid of Ben.
She insisted that Ross gave up his only son so that she could have enough baby supplies.
Yeah.
I think, let's not go too far and say Rachel murdered Ben, but maybe she murdered Ben. But, like, I'm just saying, you don't throw away a line like that and then never have Ben come back in Friends, do you?
It's quite a dark ending to our...
Quite a dark ending. Luckily, there's no Jeopardy because we know there's a quiz, so play the pre-quiz music.
Still reeling from the Ben plot twist, but there we go.
Well, this episode will be at the end dedicated to Ben in the form of a, you know...
Nah, I'm all right.
I like that your first instinct wasn't, oh, that is sad. It's, God, she did us all a favour.
this quiz has six questions for no apparent reason.
Holy schmanoli.
You ready for question one?
Oh, am I?
What was in the fruit bowl on the table in the apartment?
Oh, Hannah Sheffield, you know our weakness. Bananas.
Chili peppers.
Oh, not the fruit, I see.
Question two, what material is the star made out of that Monica makes?
Aluminum foil.
Well, the answer actually says aluminium, note not aluminum.
Hannah Sheffield, have you pulled it back into our favours?
Question three, what was Joey's excuse for eating the cream?
Washing it down, cheese makes me thirsty.
Cheese makes him thirsty.
Yeah, absolutely fair.
You know this one. Question four. What does
Ruler Bays?
No. Question four. What does Rachel say Ross would date if it called him Indiana Jones?
A gorilla.
It's a gorilla, yeah. Question five. Remember, Bula this Bays. Is not the last. No.
Shit.
What question does the teacher ask in the acting class?
What's the difference between upstage and downstage?
Correct. And finally, I know you know this one because we've talked about it. How many cookies did Joey take with him when they left the class?
Only three of an available four.
Correct.
Good quiz, Hannah Sheffield. Thank you for that.
Hang on. I forgot to look at what next week's episode is.
Oh, my goodness. Some sort of flaw in the administrative proceedings of this podcast, Peter. Who would have ever deigned to think?
Next week's episode is...
Yeah. Hey, Pete, what's next week's episode?
I was about to tell you.
Just to follow the convention of me asking you, because that's what we normally do.
Oh, sorry. Right? Fine. Season four.
Ooh, yes, please.
Episode six.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the dirty girl.
Good. Strong. Okay.
With the hamster. Thanks. The little hamster that gets squished.
Quiz? Question mark or not?
Let's check. Let's check. My spreadsheet says no, which probably means yes, but let's see. No quiz.
Zero quiz?
Zero quiz.
Zero quiz. I'll do some Instagram admin to that point immediately.
All right, good. And I think, on that note, goodbye.
Remember what the episode is for my Instagram admin?
I literally just said it.
I know, I've forgotten already. Oh, the one with the dirty girl.
Yeah.
Fine. All the best. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.